Welcome to episode 390 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and brings us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. If you'd like to see what we're talking about, be sure to check out our YouTube channel by searching for Fly Away Podcast. My name is Lindsay, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Sandy, Donna, and George. Elizabeth also brought along most of her family tonight as they just experienced tonight's topic together. So welcome, Elizabeth's family, Marcus and Chris. Disney's Galactic Star Cruiser. I'm so excited to get to hear all about this. So welcome, Chris and Marcus, as well. On March 1st, the much-anticipated Galactic Star Cruiser experience finally opened at Walt Disney World Resort. This two-night immersive game hotel theme park experience, foodie event, drink fest, that's a whole lot of slashes, has been hyped up, and the price tag reflects the hype. Billed as a space cruise, this truly is a unique blend of gaming and the Star Wars universe. The Karens, like many families, have been waiting for this ever since it was announced at D23 with open minds and wide open wallets. They just returned home from their voyage tonight, and we are asking them for all the details, but none of the spoilers, please. So let's get started. So I want to know right away out of the gate. So everybody knows what the price tag is about this time. Everybody's over the sticker shock, had the smelling salts brought out and gotten up off the floor. So what is included in this amazing experience?
It was quite a bit, actually. So it's two nights accommodation, which is not quite a bit when you think about it, for about the price of a 7-night cruise. But two nights accommodation, you do get a magic band. They call it an M band, though. Yes, this is what it looks like. If you're not watching us on YouTube, you're missing out. This is what the included M band looks like. And it's got the little Chandrilla icon on it. And then food and basic beverages. And the food is out of this world, like literally. And basic beverages means not the booze, but everything else is included. The game, which we will call the LARP, because that's really what it is, live action role playing, which lasts from the minute you get on the ship to till you go to bed the last night, right? The next morning, there isn't any character interaction. And then
admission. So does it run all night, or are you expecting?
No, not all night. No.
Oh, okay.
It's not a true con.
I'm telling you right now, Donna, if there was anything past 8 o'clock, she was not there for it.
Well, there is. And I did miss it one night. Well, we can talk about that. And then also you get 1-day admission to Hollywood Studios, but technically to Batuu. You have an excursion to Batuu. You can leave Batuu should you choose to. We did not, but you can. And while you are there, it actually includes a meal while you're there. And you also, you get your transport to Galaxy's Edge, which do make sure you ask me for details about that. Lightning Lane is included for Rise of the Resistance and for Smuggler's Run. It's loaded onto your magic band well before you get there.
Is it a one-time deal, or is it every?
Once for each.
Once
for each. And then priority reservations at Oga's, Savi's, and the Droid Workshop. So basically, Batuu is yours. Like, Batuu is your oyster for that morning. And really, you're supposed to be back on the ship. Was it 2 or 4 o'clock?
4 o'clock.
Yeah, 4 o'clock. So until you have really have until 4 o'clock. So yeah.
Oh, so is it giving away any secrets if I ask how they do the excursion? So you're in there with other park guests at the same time, right? And you're just kind of, you're not segregated out.
Correct. You guys want to talk about
just
So basically you kind of just get on like off the transport straight to Batuu, and you really just you just go in there. People are still there, so you really walk on. Just like,
you have a lot of missions, and the missions usually involve going around that area of the park and doing something. It's scanning some crates or a lot of it has to do with the smart app, the Disney Play app, And there are a lot of missions on there. And in fact, the entire game from start to finish runs through the app. You have a lot of interactions. And I obviously can't see behind the scenes. So I assume there are people who are monitoring. And they can probably adjust things from there. But almost all of your main storyline and interactions have to do with the choices you make in the app, as well as any personal interactions you have with the actors, the characters, the cast members.
So it's kind of like a choose your own adventure?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is scripted, but with room to play. And just like any good large Dungeons & Dragons game or live action role playing, if it's big enough, you've got to have room for the characters to play, but you have a key storyline that you intend to carry out that will happen no matter what. The way that it happens may vary slightly based on what's happened during that. But it really, you could go back next week and have a different experience. The same story elements are going to happen.
Probably.
But you'll have the same experience. So, Lindsay, you asked, you know, what happens when you're on Batuu because you're there with other guests. I'll give you one guess how Disney denotes that you're on the Halcyon. What do you think they give you?
Probably something to wear.
A pin. So you get, yeah, just like every other, all my paperwork just fell off my desk. Just like any other Disney experience, they make sure you get a pin. You get to keep it, and you wear this around the park so all the cast members can identify that you're with the Halcyon. The M band, also helps you know that. So when you experience Smuggler's Run, When the cast member will see you, and that when they put you into your compartment, then your recording is a little bit different. Your video is a little bit different. Yeah. So they actually do change elements to match the storyline.
Okay. And did they have like extra care? Again, anything I ask, if I ask something that's going to like ruin something for somebody, don't answer. Did they have like extra people in the park that were only there to interact with you when you were there on Batuu?
Nope.
Okay.
Or if they did, we didn't run into them. You didn't, did you?
No.
There were a couple times we split up because we had different, we actually thought we were going to play together and did not end up playing together. So there were times where we came in as a family, but then we all pretty much chose our own adventure. So
was that a good thing?
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, they encourage you to talk to the people you trust and kind of see more what's going on with the storyline. I mean, there are details we can give away that are not spoilers and are not going to ruin the story. Because basically how the game is run is there are three primary factions, and the storylines have to do with those factions. And there are characters who are main characters or cast members that are aligned with those factions. And so you find yourself interacting with them, and your interactions as well as the choices you make in the app are going to guide what missions you get and what experiences you get to have.
So you have like an Imperial team and a Rebel Alliance team.
You got the right idea. Like, so okay. I'm not going to delve too deep into it, but yeah, I mean, if you've seen Star Wars, you can figure it out.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you can cross a little bit. Like, you know I personally sort of tried to remain neutral to start with, just to see where I ended up. I did not end up neutral, but I started that way. So, you know, Chris, on the other hand, was totally messing things up.
I have a question for Marcus. So who was more into it? Was it you or your parents?
Oh, me. Like my
really?
Yeah, my parents would either go take a nap in the room or... it's
your own kids, Elizabeth. It's your own children who are going to be...
I didn't miss anything.
I didn't miss
anything. I was mostly walking around talking to everybody, just trying to get as much of an experience as I can out of 2 days. And it's a lot of... I mean, honestly, 2 days doesn't seem like a lot, but for what they do, it's a lot of time. So you really get, all the time in the world to talk to all the actors there and stuff.
Basically, Marcus would just hang out in the atrium and wait for something to happen, and then he would go do that thing. Like, he was, yeah.
And I think the important thing if you're looking to do it is if you understand the structure of how everything's put together in the game, then you can help yourself not miss things. So basically, there's a lot of time where there's just general socializing interaction. You have free time. But the time, I'd say around 4 o'clock and just after the second seating and dinner are when the big things are happening. And so you need to make sure you're kind of in the main atrium for that stuff to go down. And
that's happy hour.
That first night is after dinner. Elizabeth went back to the room, and that's when they had the big sort of thing happen. And then everyone really gets to go. And it's like, what path are you going down? You kind of go, and a lot of the actions on the ship that weren't through the app were through these consoles. And you would scan your band on the console. And then, like I said, those things are your choices. And your band and the consoles are synced up, and there are playable areas on the ship, and so you can get like access to some of those areas to do certain little tasks. One of the cool areas, I'm sure you'll talk about it a little bit, is the bridge. So there's the bridge of the Star Cruiser, and you have access to get on the bridge, and there's some really cool things they do there. The first day, they make sure you understand how to do all the stations. And then the second day, when things are happening in the story and your factions are doing things, you're doing something on the bridge. And so, it's like a big interactive video game that is a big cooperative between, you know, 20 people.
Yeah.
So you're using this, they use this cruise terminology, like embarkation, debarkation, and you mentioned tendering. Mm-hmm.
So they didn't call it tendering. I did, but embarkation and debarkation, definitely. And honestly, the whole thing operates like a cruise ship. You get a luggage tag, you put on your luggage tag, you put your luggage out, they take it. I mean, so it's very cruise shippy. For me, those are the biggest pain points in the process. So somebody told us there were about 320 people on board, which is not a very, I mean, that's a good, solid, you know, number of people to interact with. It's not too many where you just can't do anything. And it's not so few that you're like, oh, I already talked to you and, you know, blah. So, and all ages. And they don't have a kids club, but they do have the Lothcat crew. I don't know, Ian may be able to find a Lothcat that he can blip up on the screen real quick to show people what it looks like. But basically those were sort of the kid focused kind of things. And they made sure they kept the kids involved.
And they were involved.
And they were involved. Yeah. And Marcus, because of his age, he's 16. He's very tall. So every now and then we'd see him going by with the Lothcat crew. He'd be like this big guy. But, you know, he would help them out and sort of guide them through and sort of served as almost a junior counselor, if you will, and help move that story along. So, yeah. And they tried to bring the kids in to interact with the characters that kids love the most. I think that's the easiest way to say that. You know, they made sure that they had those sort of warm, fuzzy characters.
They felt like they were involved and they were doing things to help.
Yeah.
And it was kind of cool to watch, to be honest with you. Those kids were really having a lot of fun jumping into that story and really being involved.
If you want to really have a really good experience, I would stick around some of the Lothcats because all the action is going to be happening where they are. That's because a crew member is going to be carrying, like, taking them everywhere, and like they'll say like, oh, you come here, follow me, I need your help or something. So if you really want to be more invested in the story, I would stay kind of just
hang out with the kids.
Yeah, me and I would really just walk up and down the stairs looking to see where that squad of kids are.
Do you think that's probably why you were more plugged in than your parents? Yeah. You were right in the,
I mean, let's face it.
Well, that's, you know, cause you know, age saps that out of you. So George, you didn't have to do like a safety drill, right?
So were we talking Lothcats like Star Wars Rebels?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah. Lothcats.
That's cool.
There was a safety drill, though.
There was a safety drill, yeah. At muster station.
It's for a good reason, actually, is because they needed to. There's an in-game reason to have an emergency. Since you're in a role-playing situation, you may have a ship emergency, and they needed to clarify, this is a ship emergency, and this is what this sounds like. This is a real emergency, you need to get out. Mm-hmm. And okay. So they needed to make sure that you understand the difference. This sound means, hey, the ship's under attack or whatever. This sound means, hey, maybe there's a fire, you should probably leave.
Yeah,
fire, we gotta get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, back to the embarkation and debarkation, everything is treated sort of like when you arrive, you go down a hallway, get on a transport, and go up into space. However, interestingly, Disney has not really tried to disguise anything. And so as you come into the parking lot, you can self-drive to the terminal. And the front of the terminal is definitely a terminal. It's really cool looking. But the back of the building looks like a prison. It's just a gray box. And that's the hotel that you're gonna, you know, that you're in. But so there's no, like, there's no attempt to sort of cover
it up. There's no show.
Yeah, there's no show. I mean, you're going backstage and you're literally looking at the back of Galaxy's Edge.
You think they put some scrim or something.
Yeah. Once you're in there, it's really easy to forget that, you know, that you are in a big gray box. And they do have a what do they call it? An environment simulator?
The climate simulator.
That it is an outdoor space so that if you're getting claustrophobic or if you want to remember that you are in Florida in the middle of the heat, you can go outside. And so it's still, it's enclosed. You can see the sky and there's plants in there. You can't see anything around you, but it's like a holodeck, but it is actually outside. So yeah, you can get some fresh air that way.
So I have a question about the you were talking about priority reservations at Savvy's and the Droid Depot. Did that actually include also a lightsaber and droid?
No, those are extra. You pay for them. Yes, you can pay for them.
Okay. So, and it was a reservation to go do it, but
Okay. And we sort of played the gamut with that. Like, I tested everything sort of by accident. You know how you do. You travel poorly so that other people don't have to. And sure. So Marcus has already made a lightsaber and had decided that on this trip he didn't want to do that. But then we took a friend of Marcus's who did want to do it but didn't tell me that. And so we get there. He's like, oh, I think I'd like to make a lightsaber. I'm like, oh, great. Well, let's see if these priority reservations actually exist. And so I went to guest services on the ship, and they said, if you just go with your PIN, just go up and ask for a walk-on, they should be able to accommodate you. And they did. I mean, he got a pretty – now, it was only one person. I mean, I didn't have a group of people trying to do it. But he had no trouble getting in there, and they had no trouble taking his money. But
so if you had wanted to do that and actually were having, like, say, a group of six, you know.
Then at 60 days before boarding, you can just, like, 60 days before.
But would you do that through
through your travel agent? Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, but would it be through the regular channels to book it? Or would you actually do it through the Star Wars program?
Through the Star Wars program, through your travel agent. Yeah.
Gotcha.
But yeah, what we were told is that they know which days the Star Cruiser is going to be in Batuu, so they try to hold a reserve of those activities just for the people in the Star Cruiser.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
But then they also have priority times that are reserved sort of just for the Star Cruiser also, because they want to make sure that you have enough time to do all the things. And they want to make sure it doesn't interfere with any of the other activities.
That makes sense too.
So that you're not stuck, you know, with the 5 o'clock time because you didn't realize
that you're going to miss you're going to miss whatever's going on.
Right.
So I do want to move on to the food and beverage. Can we talk about? Well, let's talk about food first. But
I have been drinking from my glassware. I think Lindsay and I share that love of glassware. That Chris is just thrilled because I don't have enough glassware at all.
That looks like it could tip over. Can you hold that up close to the camera?
I want to see that. Donna actually asked me about this because I posted a picture of it, and I just explained gravity is different in space. This is really heavy. Like
This is
what, maybe 2 pounds with the drink in it?
Maybe.
Yeah, it's heavy. So that's how it doesn't tip over. And this is holding a double Manhattan right now, but it had a different drink in it before. And on the menu, the drink is like $45. I'm like, why on earth is this drink $45? Okay.
So, because it comes with the glass. Okay, so now I have to go do this just to get the glass. That's awesome. Thanks a lot, Elizabeth.
There's another one. Wait.
But wait, there's more.
The little base that has the lighting is so bad. Sorry about that. It has the little chandelier.
Oh, cool. So I have to ask, you're in this immersive environment. Mm-hmm. Were the prices on the menus in dollars? Or were they in like
$4? Yes. They were in dollars, and
I think technically they were in credits, but it's the same.
Yes, they were. Yeah, that's true.
One conversion.
Everybody said they were credits. Yeah. Let me see if I can pull up that bar menu. I didn't take a picture of the prices. I just took a picture of what was on the menu. Hang on. I think this one had prices. Martini, $15. The Mark of the Huntress, which is what was in this, was $23. There's a gin and tonic for 16. So they're basically ranging from $15 to $18, and then more if you want the glass. Yeah.
And they fed you, the food was included, right?
The food was included. And in fact, little pro tip, when you go to the bar, to the lounge, excuse me. It doesn't look like there's food there, but if you ask, they do have a small food menu and included a smoked cheese plate, which was and a few other things too. But
it wasn't additional, right? It was not. Okay.
That was included. Beverages were additional. The other things, like they do have a photo. If you are a true Star Wars person, then they do you can book a photography session, and their photographers were excellent. And they put you in these great positions with, you know, lightsabers and cards and like on the bridge. And I saw them doing this. The ship itself is very small. All of the activities are on two decks. So you probably will see everybody again and again and again. It kind of size wise reminded me of a river cruise, a little bit bigger than that, but where you always do run into the same people over and over again. So you can snack in the lounge. They also have snacks sort of in the atrium during the day if you get a little peckish. And then the food, the dining room was like a ship dining room. Like we had an assigned table with an assigned server at assigned time. And it was a 3-course meal, and everything is done to, you know, it's food that you've eaten before, but it's all just like in Galaxy's Edge and also in Pandora, where they've taken the food and they've made it interesting and otherworldly. They did that. So we had these big cocktail shrimp, and they were blue. Everybody loves the blue shrimp. They serve some dumplings. That seems to be a very space friendly food. What else did we have?
We had
bantha. We ate a lot of bantha. Yeah.
So, beef and chicken had their own Star Warsy names.
Yeah.
Did you have like after certain like a regular Disney property after a certain time there's absolutely no food? Was there room service? Was there anything for those who are a little late night people?
No, but I think honestly there were snacks. Like the lounge was open till 2, and as far as I know that you could get that food up until then. I don't know. I didn't test that one. We all know 10 o'clock, hard stop. And honestly, the first night, the reason I went to bed early the first night, I didn't want to, but I was really not feeling well at all. And I don't know what it was. It could have been something that I ate, but I was feeling really, really poor. And I would not have done well trying to sit in the atrium and listen to the storyline. That said, I can tell you as someone who missed that key event, I still had a great experience. So
that kind of leads into my next question, which isn't on here, so please forgive me for throwing this in here, but what do you think the experience would be like for somebody who's not, if they're going with their family and their family is a diehard, you know, someone's a diehard Star Wars fan, and then someone doesn't know the difference between Star Wars and Star Trek and, you know, Muppets in space, you know, like what do you think? Do you think that...
That's an interesting question. I mean, they definitely are not catering to the casual fan as it is, but I'm sure they have to account for it somehow. I honestly think if you'd be okay with people who are in costume or playing, you could probably be fine. Just having fun and talking to people and interacting with, I mean, a lot of the cast members are very, very outgoing and colorful and interesting. There's singing, there's music, so there are things going on.
There's singing.
Necessarily have to be like the huge Star Wars fan knowing all the deep lore to be able to enjoy that part of it. And you know, a lot of the characters are funny too, and you can just talk to them. And you know, we had one situation where there was a First Lord Lieutenant and Marcus's friend. He's walking by and he's like, "Go get him, Tiger." And you can see the look on his face. He's about to laugh. And he's like, "You know, normally I prefer Lieutenant, but I appreciate the sentiment." You know, and so little things like that, you know, they're really good about keeping that. And since it's such a small group, I mean, you see the same people over and over again. So you have that level of comfort knowing it's not a huge thing with thousands of people. It's very small. And the cast of characters is, you know, I would say there's probably less than 10.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 maybe?
Yeah.
Characters you can talk to?
Yeah, like actually, yeah,
and that's not counting just like the service crew who are in character, but they're, you know, obviously doing their job, but like at the bar or whatever.
And it's also not counting some of the more main Star Wars characters that appear in various ways. So, and you know, I'll just go ahead and attack what George has said when this first started, and even with Galaxy's Edge, you know, well, the older fans want the older characters. There's something here for them. I think that that's one way that I'm a casual fan. Like, I hadn't even, when I met Chris 22 years ago, I had not even seen the Return of the, what?
Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi. So, I said
that out loud right now.
Yeah, I did. Hello.
I'm going to out myself.
All 12 of our listeners. So
I'm going to out myself too, because until the new movies came out, Josh made me sit down and watch all the original.
Well, that was actually, so Phantom Menace was coming out that year. And so I had made a point, because when I was younger, we weren't allowed to go to the movies. We just, and it wasn't religion or anything. It was just too far away. My parents didn't want to drive us. That was literally what it was. And at the time, back then, in those days, Marcus, you had to actually go to a movie theater and just like
flip on. Yeah, see, I was this total Star Wars girl, and I watched it over and over and over and over again on HBO.
Yeah. Me too.
So
if it was on, I was watching it.
And exactly.
For me, when HBO became a thing, I had the opportunity to watch it then, but like I hadn't seen the first movie, so I couldn't watch the second movie, and then I hadn't seen the second movie, so I couldn't watch the third. So it took me a long time, and I finally said, no, I'm going to sit down and do it, because I wanted to see all three of those movies before I watched the first one, which incidentally turned out to be pointless. We all know that. But anyway, I at least have seen them now. So, and I actually do like the more recent movies. This sort of is set in the Rey and Finn universe.
I wish I'd done it that way instead of having to watch all six before I could see them. Literally, maybe, because all I'd ever seen was the Ewok movies, and I really thought that, because it's so ingrained in our culture, in our pop culture, that I knew so many lines and so many things just from you know, everything else.
After we got married, we watched The Empire Strikes Back together, and he actually spoke every word of the movie as it was happening, and I was like, oh, what have I done?
I watched it on TV the other night on Disney Plus.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it's a great movie. I just didn't know it word for word, and he does. Like, so, literally, he could probably.
So Chris probably showed up with his own costume already. It was probably hard to pick which one to take. Did you have a costume?
He doesn't care about costumes. He never has. So he did. He actually, when Marcus was younger, he dressed up as Han Solo. He dressed up as Han Solo to satisfy Marcus. And so he had a Han Solo costume. So he brought that vest and shirt, but he didn't wear it till later. Marcus bought like a bomber jacket that kind of was. And then I actually went on Amazon and like Athleta actually has some sort of, you know, Star Wars is all this flowy clothing or whatever. So I found something that actually, when I was in Galaxy's Edge, somebody mistook me for a cast member. That's how good my costume was.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But people came to play, man. Yeah. I mean, when we were in line, there were all a gamut of costumes, everything from basic Jedi robes to Imperial uniforms. I mean, people came to play. They were there.
That would be the coolest thing for me to see, would be because people will put tens of thousands of dollars into their costumes for whatever it is, whatever genre they're interested in. So I can only imagine what you guys got to see being come with some of the first people.
Though, is that they would not let you bring lightsabers, the blades, onto the ship.
Oh.
Buy them when you were there.
Oh, so they get you an appointment and sell it to you. Yeah.
Bingo. Yeah. By the way, for our casual listeners, that is not Chewbacca in the background. That is Lindsay's dog.
That's Lily Bell. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
It did fit though.
Don't they have like a lightsaber training?
Mm-hmm.
So they have them there for you to use.
Yeah, they have training sabers. So and those didn't leave that room. And actually they have sabers and shields, so it was pretty easy to get involved. The shields are actually really heavy too. they do have lightsaber training, and they said you could bring the hilt, you just couldn't bring the blade, which is glass. It's a glass tube, but you can easily buy one. Yeah. So it's kind of a nonsense rule.
They also made
me leave my scissors and my corkscrew in the car. They specifically asked about sharp objects and specifically said scissors and corkscrews are not allowed.
Does that mean you can't bring your own booze on board?
I didn't try. They didn't. Did they mention booze when they were asking me what was in
there? I don't recall.
I actually didn't try because we had a later stay and I was just going to go to the grocery store and get some wine, which I did. And I also wanted to try all the drinks. And two nights, you know, a cocktail menu is hard to get through in two nights. I did it, though, but it's hard to do.
Come on, what do you mean hard to get through in two nights?
I wonder why I didn't feel well on Monday night.
So did any of the drinks have special effects?
No. Nope. Right. We got our special effects at Oga's, actually. He got one of the fizzes.
Oh.
No, none of the... Well...
I thought the one was had smoke. Oh, one of them had the bubbles.
That was in Oga's, though, wasn't it?
No.
Oh, okay.
The beast.
So none of the ones I got had... They do have foam on top, and yeah, one is blue, you know, so, yeah.
It was the one at Oga's.
The Hoth, cool. Yeah, the Hoth icebreaker is blue, so, yeah. Definitely spacey, but I did, the ones in the lounge on the Star Cruiser are handcrafted, not, you know, at Oga's, they have, it's all pre-mixed, so.
Okay. So the ones sold, they're handcrafted. That's cool. That would be worth doing it just to do that. You know how much I love a good craft cocktail.
Yes, I was very happy in the lounge.
So the, I know I kind of skipped over. We didn't even talk about the, did you guys sleep in bunk beds? I got it. Because all the mock-ups for this made it look like everybody was sleeping in little, single beds.
So, my parents had one bed, and then there was two bunk beds, which full-sized. I'm 6'2", kind of. I'm 6'2", and I was able to sleep without having to, cramp up. So,
that's good.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yep, and he was on the top bunk, too, so he climbed up into it and bonked his head.
Marcus, you didn't feel, claustrophobic in there? Mm-hmm. I know sometimes the pictures and mock-ups don't do justice to his space.
Well, the picture makes it look smaller because there's, walls covering it, so there's a little bit more room,
Yeah.
Okay.
And even when we got on, because I asked many times, I'm like, will my giant child fit into this bed? And they're like, they're adult size. I promise they're adult size. And we get into the cabin. I'm like, Marcus, I don't know.
To get in there and see.
Yeah.
It would have been uncomfortable, all three of you in one bed.
Yeah. I thought the bedding was really nice, actually. I mean, the cabin was a nice size. I would say it's at least the size of a moderate at Disney World and maybe even a deluxe. And the window is super cool, that it has a running, view of space. But if you want it to turn off, a blind comes down so that you can't see space anymore. And it's got lights around it, and those go off when you turn off the... So it was easy to sleep. There's a little table that came out of the wall.
And the view screen would match whatever was going on. And it wasn't just blank stars. If there were asteroids, you saw asteroids. If you're going to hyperspace, you see the hyperspace lines. I mean, it kept everything synced with the overall story.
Really great details like that.
That's great. So the data pads, you kind of mentioned those before, that's where you get all your information.
It's part of the Play Disney app. And honestly, it made me think that the Play Disney app probably needs a little bit more attention because that actually is pretty cool. But the data pad is in there, and there's a data pad that you can use if you're just a Galaxy's Edge, regular person. And then there's the data pad for the Star Cruiser, and that has all of your communications. So a lot of times the characters will communicate with you through the data pad. And that's where you get your missions. It also has a scanner. There are things at Galaxy's Edge that you can scan that you didn't even notice you could scan. And it has
all those weird barcodes that you see that look like barcodes printed on everything. I always wondered if they were going to do something.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And apparently you can use those for the regular Play Disney app too. So if Star Cruiser is either too rich for your blood or it's just too much, you don't want to do a 2-day LARP, then you can use the Play Disney app and you choose which side you want to be on, and you can get missions that way too. So you can still interact with those things even if you're not. Yeah, it's just a little bit different when you're on the Star Cruiser.
Yeah. That's so cool. So the droids, I know that there was droid interaction throughout Batuu before. Is the droid interaction on the Star Cruiser? How is that? Is it any different? Is it... Because in my mind, I'm thinking the old Perry game where you go around Epcot and things pop out.
Yeah, there's no, nothing moved or anything. Not for any of my missions. Yeah, like, did you, you didn't trigger anything with your barcode.
No.
It's all, but there's, there are droids on the ship, and actually the one that is the coolest, I think, is in your room, so you don't have a butler or anything like that, but you do have a droid that you can push a button and talk to, and it's an AI that actually can talk to you, so, like, depending on where you are in the storyline, it will have different things to say to you, and, Chris actually played a like survival scenario with the droid. So, and it's I mean, she listens to your response and she makes the choice. So it's like those old cave games or whatever. It's like, okay, well, what do you do next? And you say, I go left. And it says, okay, you go left and you see blah, blah, blah. And what do you do? And it, I shoot the thing. And she's like, okay, you shoot the thing. And then it shoots you back and you're dead. You know, that sort of, it's that sort of game, you know.
Sounds like D&D.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, and honestly, aren't all games go back to D&D?
Indeed. And it's the first time I've seen Chris lose at a survival game like that. Like, he's usually really good at strategy like that, and he died. And then he gave up. I know.
It's your own wife, Chris. Sometimes it's your own wife.
He doesn't let go of anything like that, ever. Yeah.
He wins everything. He literally, they're lucky he didn't. There is a card tournament on board, and he slept through it. Speaking of taking naps. And, Mr. I didn't take a nap. And I was like,
you've been holding on to that this whole episode.
Yeah. It's exhausting to be on like that all the time. Ugh.
I bet it is hard, because when you have, you know, you think 2 days isn't a long time, but when you're trying to probably cram as many things in to that period of time, it probably, and even all that excitement, and it's a new excitement of something new, and you don't want to miss something, and that does sap a little energy out of you too.
That full day, which is like, so you get on board at 1 o'clock or a little bit later. That first day is sort of orientation and is easygoing. That full day that you're on is packed. Mm-hmm. You go to Galaxy's Edge, you do all the things, you ride all the things, and then you come back and you eat your lunch. And then if you're me, you take a nap. But there's card tournaments, there's things to do. And then we had assignments starting at 4 o'clock, and wow, they're in like little 15-minute shifts, to the extent where Chris had something that ran over. So he didn't get to do the lightsaber training because they closed the door. Like, you know, you get in there and they close the door. So it's just one thing after another. And if you're really involved, you could literally be going to one thing after another. And that brings up an interesting point too. So your data pad tells you where to go. And I just assumed that we were all going to get the same assignments. We're in the same family or whatever. We all had different things to do. There's one room that I didn't even see that they got to do. And so it just depends. And then I was in a room where it was literally me, one other guy, his baby, and then two characters and a hologram. You know, and it was an important moment, and I was like, how am I here by myself? But everybody else was doing things that ran over, and the doors closed, and...
It's literally, you're in a movie.
Yeah.
And you're...
Okay.
Main character, a side character, or just, like, an irrelevant character.
Did you think, Marcus, that they set this up so that if you did this again, you'd have a completely different experience?
I mean, if you choose to have a different experience, you probably will. Like, if you make your decisions differently... You'll have a completely and totally different, like, the ending, the whole plot will still be the same. The ending will be the same, but you'll feel like you did different things to cause that.
But yeah, because especially if you picked a different side.
And they do actually call people out by name who did important things in the plot point. So, you know, there was a girl named Lucy on board who was very, I almost feel like she was there by herself, but she was 14 or so. Maybe she was older. She looked 14. And she apparently really interacted with these characters. And so they say, well, thanks to Lucy, I found out blah, blah, blah. And then, so they will actually call out your name at the end and sort of say, you know, how they contributed to the plot. So the more you do, and then even like... Marcus's friend couldn't remember his log on for his data pad, so he didn't have it the whole time, but he knew sort of what side he was on, and there was an event going on. He sort of figured out that the team he was on was doing something, so he actually used his M-band and scanned in and got approved to go in, and so he was in, and then Marcus tried to go in with him and couldn't go in because he was not invited. So,
on that team.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. So do you guys think, like, Chris, would you do this again? Did you have enough fun, or you do it again?
I had fun. I think I would want to make sure that the experience was fundamentally different, or if I knew that there were some significant changes to, like, what the story was. I don't know if I'd want to do the same story over again, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, I think you could have a different experience if you, this is one of the things that you'll get out of it, what you put into it. If you really kind of go in with, like, I'm going to interact with these people and I have my costume and I'm ready to go, you'll probably get a ton out of it. I'm sort of the middle ground. I can interact where I want to, but I'm perfectly happy to do stuff on the app. And I like the more interactive experiences more. So, like, I love the stuff on the bridge and, like, the engineering room. That stuff I really enjoyed. I'd like to do more of that. But I don't know. I mean, it was fun. I had a good time, and I'm glad I did it. I don't know if I would need to do it again unless I felt that the story was a little different or they had made some other changes. I would like there to be more interactive elements like that. Like I said, those things. I think you could probably fit in some other things, but, you know.
And Elizabeth's like, I'd do it again if I had.
Well, if they want people to do it, if they want people that have already done it to do it again, they're going to have to do that.
Yeah. And, you know, I took the survey afterwards, and that was one of the questions. Would you do this again within the next 5 years? Which they ask about a regular Walt Disney World trip. And of course, Walt Disney World, I'm like, yeah, I'll be here. I'll be here next month, whatever. But Galactic Star, for the price point, and because I know that the storyline is somewhat fixed, and, you know, there were four of us there, so we could all compare notes. So I kind of know. I mean, obviously there's nuances that will change, but I kind of know everything that's going on. I never went to the engineering room. I didn't even know where it was. Like, I had nothing took me there, and apparently it was pretty cool. Would I like to do that? Yeah. Would I like to pay $7,500 to do that? No.
For the chance to maybe do that again, because but there's no guarantee.
I mean, I at least know sort of, I know the right people to talk to end up there. But honestly, I'm also not a people person. So the idea of interacting with the live, I liked watching the live interactions, but I didn't necessarily want to interact live with these characters. But the actors, I got to tell you too, from a theater perspective, you know, they tell you to, you never work with animals like Lilybell or children.
Yes.
And those loft cats crew completely exemplified why you don't work with children. Like, they would shout out accusations and they would try to point out things. And these actors knew exactly how to handle it. You know, they were like, even the, you know, go get them, Tiger. They were very patient with it, and they rolled with it. It was really good to see, because as an actor, that's really hard when somebody just basically ruins the whole storyline, you know. Oh, that thing you're looking for, it's right over there. You know, obviously that's not what you're supposed to do. So
it's not.
There's a group of kids that were like yelling at one of the generals, and he was like, one of your stormtroopers has a crush on one of the characters. And they had to, he basically had to improvise. And he was talking to these kids for like a solid 15 minutes. And he's like, yeah, that's it. I'm going downstairs.
Yeah.
And he was like, he was walking downstairs and he was trying his best to hold in his laughter.
He's like, these are stand-up gentlemen. They're professionals. They won't, you know, they don't fall in love on the job. And I mean, he really just rolled with it. It was totally silly. Like, it was totally kid stuff. But
that would be so hard because kids are so funny.
Yeah. Yep. They really, I mean, a really talented group of people and a really fun experience and an exhausting experience too. We were super happy to just go to Epcot and chill. We got off the ship. It was like, ooh, let's just have a drink, a little bit of snacky snack, and yeah, just chill a little bit. So, but honestly, I will say too, the price tag, it's hard to swallow, but kind of like Disney Cruise Line, once you get on board, you sort of see where all your money went, and it makes a lot more sense. It's hard to put into words, but on the Star Cruiser, I can really, like the AI that was in our room, the fact that all of these videos are synced so that, you know, wherever you are on the ship, you're still in the same place. You know where your money went. I will say the money did not go to the transport. So the transport takes you from the box hotel to the back of Galaxy's Edge, but you never see the outside of it. And his brother's wife, my sister-in-law, works at Disney, well, works close by Disney and has a lot of Disney contacts. She showed us a picture of the transport, and it is literally a box.
No.
It's basically a U-Haul. And I'm like, could you at least, you know, do something to the outside of it? And it doesn't, I mean, the magic inside, it looks great on the inside. But, you know, they really, like, they did not bother at all. It doesn't even say, like.
You see it. You didn't see it, right?
We never saw it. Yeah, you enter a door from the, like.
But if she hadn't shown you that picture, you wouldn't know.
Except you know. You kind of know because you know that the outside of the building looks like a gray prison. Yeah. So, you know.
I will say they need to put up something. They need to put up, like, at least those fake cardboard, you know, like this.
Right. As an old Walt Disney geek, and you know that Walt Disney was very much about
the show.
Any of the behind the scenes, none of the backstage. He doesn't want you to be able to see something from somewhere else. So, you know, like when the Swan and Dolphin went up, Walt Disney probably exploded in his frozen cryogenic state because that was just completely against all of the rules that he had. And ever since then, they're just like, you know, here we go. But it was, again, I don't criticize because it was really fun. Like what they put on the inside, 100%. And, you know, it was very easy to forget that you were in a big gray box. You know, it was really, really well done. And just being spoiled on Galaxy's Edge, too, it was kind of like the world's most expensive Lightning Lane and VIP tour. We didn't have a guide, but the Lightning Lane thing was just amazing. And it's not a particular time. You have Lightning Lane passes and you do it at your leisure when you feel like doing it.
But it's just one time.
One time for each, yeah.
But you don't really have a whole lot of time. I mean, you're there. Don't have time to do. When did we go over in the morning?
Like 8:30.
Yeah, so 8:30 until. I mean, they want you back on by 4. So you. I need a nap. But you know, a lot of things are even happening before then. And while you're there, doing your missions will take you all over Batu, and it takes up more time. I mean, more time. You're going here. You're going here. You're scanning this. You're doing a mini game. You're going here, scanning this. You're kind of traveling around the park anyway. And then you do your rides, and there are actually missions involved with the rides that are, like I said, you will have missions that interact with both of those rides. So you have the pass on there so you can accomplish the mission for your faction and check in and kind of see from there.
Yeah. And we did different things there, too. And by the way, Florida also is hot. Or excuse me, Batu is hot. And so the same rule applies when you're touring the parks. Go early, knock it out. At about noon, go back, take a nap, have a drink, have a lunch, whatever. And then, you know, if you want to go. Now, with this experience, you don't have the option to go back. The shuttle is not running. But we did that all week when we were at Disney World, too, because it was hot in the middle of the day. So, it you know, for us, from 8:30, and, you know, we had one person who did the lightsaber. But if you're doing everything, and I just booked this for a client. Her window actually opened today for her stuff, and they wanted to do lightsabers, droids, and ogas, plus everything else. It's kind of hard, you know, pretty much your whole, you know, if you're going to ride both attractions, do all three of those things, and then get back on the ship by 1:30. Two, then that's it. I mean, that's your day. So, yeah.
Well, yep. So anybody have any other questions about any activities before? Are we all ready to go? Outlander team training?
No.
I would love if George did it one day. I know that he's very much about the old school characters, so I'd be curious what he thought of it.
All about.
Yeah, they are there. I saw a couple of them. So,
well, that is our show for this week, guys. Thank you for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell all your friends all about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you.
Lilybell especially would love to hear from you.
Yes, she wants your feedback. And don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube. Thanks, Chris and Marcus for joining us. It's been so much fun. And thank you for sharing your experience with us. I can't wait to someday try this. I think my husband would absolutely love this. But on behalf of Donna, Sandy, George, Elizabeth, and myself, Lindsay, thank you all for joining us this week. Gotta fly.